going on down there?
Yo, it's the end of Saturday here at TFCon 2010. This is Evangelus with WTF at TFCon 2010. Today was about 500 times more eventful than yesterday. Here with me today is Rumi Aaron.
How's it going, guys?
Not bad. Also here with us today is fellow fembot, Gabby.
Hi there, everybody.
And the reason why we have a special guest on the podcast today is because collectively the three of us plus Raven are the TFCon Faction Feud Championes.
Yes. So default. Oh,
let's talk about how awesome we are. Okay. So last year there's a team called the Fembots. The way it was formed is that there was going to be a team of four girls called the Fembots. However, two of them didn't show up, and I joined their team, but they kept the name because the Fembots bring the balls.
Yes. So, and the ovaries.
That's right. So last year, here's how it went. We lost the first round in a direct elimination bracket style faction feud, and then we were repassaged in because there weren't enough teams, and then we lost again. So we actually lost twice in a tournament where you can only lose once.
But we lost with honor and dignity.
Yes.
Good times.
So this year, things went a little bit differently. There are only two of the original Fembots here, myself and Gabby.
Hello.
And we drafted Aaron in.
Yes.
So I wrote down our three names, and then later on, Raven was added in whilst I think I was in a panel. Or something
I saw. Yeah. I was like, aw, because everybody's names were written in like plain pencil or whatever, and then I saw our names were written in big
Sharpie,
capital, little bold black, and I'm like,
Evangelists don't screw around.
Yes.
I even put the exclamation point in.
Yes,
they left it
off. I saw that. Oh, they did?
Yeah, they left it off in the spreadsheet.
Travesty.
I brought it up after the contest was over.
That was going to be our ace in the hole in case we lost. We actually didn't.
Yeah, we didn't lose because
because it's some other team up there.
You see, exactly. We're the Fembots, and the team who would have lost would have been the Fembots.
Exactly.
So,
totally different.
Basically, what happened is we jump in there, and we won. Now, here's how we won. We stole a whole lot of points.
We had some very good strategy because it was done Family Feud style.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had the opportunity when you do the first question, you could play or pass, and we strategically, most of the time, chose, yeah, this seems like an easy one, we'll hit it out of the park, or what? 12 questions or 12 answers for what did Rodimus use? Huh? Okay, that wasn't one of our questions, but...
Well, specifically, the longest one I think we dealt with was was it like 10 or 12 answers, name everything the Valk created in the cartoon.
I think the Rodimus one was longer, maybe.
Yeah, the Rodimus one was another team, though.
Both of them were 12.
Oh, both of them were 12.
Yeah,
both of them have 12.
Okay.
12
the Rodimus one was a different team, though.
Yeah.
We had the Valk one. That was Gabby's ace in the hole, because once again, we passed that one off, because we were like, I forgot if we passed it off or if they got it, but either way, we were just
They got it. They got it, because...
yeah, when they said, we'll take it, I was like, good? Because all I know about is the floating island off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Now I know more, but
well, I was ready with floating island, Stonehenge, golden disc, and the Unicron one that they called the probe.
A probe. I had the metal eater, which was that plant eating thingamajig. I had the floating island. I had. What else did I have? Not my ace in the hole just yet. I had Tiger Hawk at the very beginning,
but
that's
the first one they got. That's the one everyone thinks of. And then I thought I was going to be really clever. I'm like, oh man, Fox Kids Transmetal Tarantulas. But then they were like, no, cartoon only. And I was like, I'm getting way too Proto Man on
then
this.
Then there was the Golden Disc, had that one too.
Yes.
And what was the bungalow, which was that building that formed at Stonehenge. And then the ace in the hole, because the other team kept knocking the answers out of the park. And I'm like, oh, I was going to swear just now. I didn't want you to idle 11 that. They kept knocking answers out of the park. And I was like, oh, crap, they keep taking what I was thinking. But the one thing what eventually stumped them, the one thing that they didn't get was the Transmetal 2 driver.
And when you said that, I literally went like, I would have never thought of that.
Yeah.
So felt quite proud of myself at the time. But Vangelis also had many of his own saves.
I hadn't really
Vangelis pulled it through. I felt bad because I had a couple of things, and then I'd get a voice actor question, and I'm just like, bleh, to voice actors mostly.
Aaron literally said that if we took any of the voice actor questions, he would have thrown stuff at us.
No.
Yes.
I said if it was a question where we went, and you said yes to take it, I would have thrown shit.
That's not quite how I remember it, but
I think it was specifically you said if you took that Rodimus question, you would have thrown something at somebody.
I totally agreed with you.
The Rodimus question was obscene.
Wow, yeah.
I'm so glad we did not have to deal with that. But the one I was really proud of, personally, because there were a couple times where it was mostly just like, I think a couple of us had the same idea, or it's like, what was it? Like the multi-parter episode thing, yes, and stuff like that. Like the one that I was really proud of was we had to, there was five answers, and it was you have to name a character who changes form and personality and back. Or something like that. Like, yeah, physical body and personality and back. So, you know, stuff like Shockwave, Long Arm Prime, stuff like Punch Counter Punch. Those are the obvious ones. Mm-hmm. We were left, we picked up because they ran with it, and I was like, good.
They had five and one that wasn't, they had four out of five, and then a fifth that wasn't an answer.
Yeah.
The Jetstorm. The Silver Bolt becoming Jetstorm, becoming Silver Bolt again, and then they tried that again with the Waspinator becoming Thrust, becoming Waspinator again.
And that one got shut down.
Yeah, they got shot down at the end because they didn't return to their original forms, even though they did return to their original personalities, though your mileage may vary with Silver Bolt.
Well, we hit this wall, basically, where it was like, okay, we got one left. And Gabby and myself were cheating to a degree and talking amongst each other while they were going through their versions. And we came to the thing where it was like, Gabby was like, I think Tankor Rhinox. And I had one myself that nobody had heard of. And then when we heard them shut down so many of those Beast Machines ones, and when you think about it, Rhinox didn't really switch back to his body. He switched back to an ethereal image of his body.
Well, I was thinking Beast Wars Rhinox.
Yes, that's what I mean. He was Rhinox.
He has like the spark tanker, image.
Yeah,
that's true.
He never physically went back. Was the thing.
That's true. Yeah.
There was also the one with what was it? The one where there wasn't a personality change. I forgot which one that was. That was what Raven suggested.
I think she tried with maybe the. Oh wait, I think she tried with maybe a Prime or something. Or did they try that?
I forgot. There was one. It was basically you had to really look at the semantics of the question. So I looked at them and I was like, you know, I have one that might work, and this is like a Daniel Protoman long shot. So I was like, I even said, you know, this might not be right, but what about Reverse Convoy Rebirth Megatron? Mike, Aaron Noroth, host. He's starting to go like, no. The guys at the board are about to do something. Danny goes like, he's right.
He's totally right. 100% right. That's the perfect answer.
And then they're all like, who in the hell is Reverse Convoy? And then Daniel explains who Reverse Convoy Rebirth Megatron is. If you don't know him, look him up because he's awesome. And the part where I was worried is that we never see him turn back into Reverse Convoy, but it's a transformation that is entirely logical and possible because it's literally a case of head swapping. So we scored that one and we got the points for it, and then that was an answer that was not on the screen. Now here's the one that nobody got that was on the screen. You're all going to yell at me and Gabby and Aaron and everyone. You're going to yell at the other team as well, like the whole audience did when we see this one. Here's the one that nobody got: Savage Noble. Now, do you want to know why I know more about Rebirth Megatron and Reverse Convoy than Savage Noble? It's because I have never in my entire life as a nerd about this stuff ever been able to remember how in the hell Savage Noble works. I've read it 3, 4, 5 times. I always entirely forget how that dude works.
That's actually a sanity block. Your brain just kicks in and goes, no.
Yeah. that. And then when I thought about it, like, even with the personality thing, I always thought, like, Savage Noble, because he's supposed to be Megatron's personality, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, for some reason, I never see him as a personality swap. I see him as two entities living in a body. But I guess that's a personality swap.
Well, then with the Noble, you had him, like, a much more lucid, logical character that was obviously sentient, while Savage was more, you know, just rage, happy, kill them all, everything. So
yeah, so that was probably one of the weirdest ones.
Yes,
of that whole,
the entire room was in uproar when the answer was revealed, because it didn't occur to some people, or maybe they were trying to brainwave
it.
Even
that like 5-year-old up front was looking at us going, what the hell?
Yes. Yes. That was a total complete failure at our
come on.
So basically, we won, and then we made it to the bonus round. Now, last year's bonus round, as some may know, and if you don't know about it, guess what the bonus round was? The team that won, and they actually did this down to the last second. They did this. They had to name 50 different prowls. Think about that for a second.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they had a very short amount of time to do it, and every time they named one wrong, they lost time, and they did it. So this year, I was like, oh man, here comes the nightmare round. So this one was actually a lot more fun. Basically, they would ask each of us one question, the four team members one question, and the questions were basically based on tech specs. They'd say, name this type of character who's known for their insert tech spec characteristics. So if they said a boat known for speed, you'd say a boat transformer, and then you'd get a number of points equal to its speed rank, even if it's low. They say you'd want to say a fast one, so you get like 7 to 10 points and not 2 or 3 points. So we go into this. I am totally freaked out about this. So we go in, and we almost got it. I mean, spoiler, we almost got it, which means we didn't. But we had quite the pressure of it was sculpted and into like an exquisite degree.
I think the other part was just the oddity of it that we didn't know, because I don't think they did a really good job of explaining it. Because I think each of us had a flub until the very end.
So the first person who goes up is Gabby. Boy. And they're like, name a headmaster with endurance. At which point Gabby goes like, all right. Well, it wasn't like this. I'm playing this up now.
I said brainstorm. I didn't say anything else.
Whoa. Immediately goes like, let me tell you, an endurance-able headmaster. Speed stick.
To which... That's by Menon, right?
Yeah, by Menon. To which Aaron Roth goes like... He pauses because he's glorious like that, and then he goes like, "Show me speed stick," and they're like, "Who the f- is speed stick?" And we got a small do over on that one.
Yes, so. That was a complete and utter failure on my part that I will never live down for the entirety and remaining time as a fan. What happened was, I was thinking about Nightstick, and then I was remembering, oh, no, wait, Nightstick is Target Master. And then I heard someone say speed something, and as I was trying to stop my brain, well, the brain-to-mouth filter, from saying Nightstick, I accidentally said speed stick, and yeah, no one will leave me alone about it now.
This started the chain reaction, or it didn't really start it, but this heralded what was a chain reaction of cataclysm. And it went in every direction, but so eventually you said brainstorm. And the whole time I was like, oh man, hard head. Like, that was the first thing in my head. But they get to me and they go like, by the way, this whole time we don't get to learn about what score we got.
Yes, right. They would tally it up, and then they would let us know at the end of the round how much we scored.
So they asked me, name a combiner who was in Scramble City that is known for its speed. One of the members of the five-part combiner teams who's in Scramble City, known for speed. So I'm sitting there trying to remember which ones were in Scramble City, for one. Because I know, like, you know, Piranacon and the Seacons would not be eligible,
right. Mm-hmm.
Given how I read that question, or how I heard the question. So I'm thinking about who was fast, and I'm like, okay, I remember distinctly that Defensor and Bruticus were in Scramble City, and then I'm like, immediately, okay, Bruticus, he's got tanks, Defensor has a motorcycle, what is faster than a motorcycle? You know, helicopters can't be faster than a motorcycle, and then, like, Vortex is, like, a spaceship in orbit. So I'm like, that can't move as fast, you know, in perspective as a friggin' motorcycle. So I'm like, Groove. And I say Groove, and Daniel, even, Proto Man in the crowd, goes like, yes.
And you know, if Proto Man says yes, that it must be absolute and utter truth.
So immediately we're all like, all right, we got one. And I'm like, all right, we got one. And Proto Man even is like, yeah, I must have got that one. Because, you know, think about it logically, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A motorcycle.
It's a tank or a gun platform. Or a Jeep, or a motorcycle.
Yeah, or an ambulance, or a police car. But, you know, which of those motorcycles always move past those? So then we move along to Aaron, who's asked to name. Now, here's what Aaron first heard. The yellow.
Yeah, I heard yellow, and my brain... Well, it was because it was... You know, Gabby had her hiccup.
Oh, God.
And then Chris had his little bit. I'm sitting there, I'm getting a little bit of fluster. And then it's name, because he like went over part of it twice, and then it was yellow, known for endurance.
For strength.
Yes, strength. Yeah.
And I was sitting there going, yellow. And for some reason, my brain went through stuff, and my brain was still kind of on Chris's question, which it shouldn't have been on. And I thought, well, drag strip. Yellow. Yeah. Speed is not necessarily strength, but okay, he's like, drag strip, are you sure? I'm like,
Mike gave him a look.
Why not?
Yeah, because
an Autobot, and I'm like, oh no, Autobot, and then my brain just went Bumblebee. And I'm like, okay, who else?
Well, first he went with drag strip, and then the guys at the booth said, give him another try. So then he said, and I quote, name a yellow Autobot known for his strength.
Yeah. But then it was just yellow Autobot. My brain just went the Bumblebee.
And then they're like, which Bumblebee?
And I went Pretender, thinking, okay, Pretender Shell, because Minibot Bumblebee is just a stupid king answer.
And this whole time, I'm sitting there just going, like, any Bumblebee is not going to be the right Bumblebee for a strong Transformer. And I'm assuming you must have had that in your head to some degree.
Well, yeah, because I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, who else is yellow? That's
Super 8.
My brain worked through some of those things because I was going through 94 or through 84, but Omega Supreme has yellow. But the way he was, you know, primarily yellow.
Yes.
And I was thinking Braun.
Omega Supreme is gray.
Braun came to me, too.
Braun? Yeah, but isn't Braun like a...
He's got an entirely yellow torso with green limbs.
Yellow torso.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things I was thinking when they say primarily yellow, I think...
Completely yellow.
And then the funny thing is I'm sitting here wearing a, you know, bright yellow shirt, which didn't help with the humiliation any.
Yellow has forsaken you, Aaron.
And then, so they move along with, okay, so Gabby feels like, oh my god, I feel like, oh, I must have done all right. Aaron's like,
I'm sitting there going, I'm Bebeto Mambo, which I know I'm going to burn in hell for that little ditty, but...
So they move along to Raven, and then here's what Raven gets asked, which is something that I don't think any of us would have had an easy time with, which is, name the tank known for its speed.
Yes.
So I'm like, what the kind of tank... is known for speed.
Yes, that all gave us a bit of hell.
And we're all just sitting there, like I was like, you know what? I don't even have. I'm not even the one answering the question, and I'm getting frustrated that I can't think of a single logical answer to this. Raven says Warpath, which is like, you know, hey, guess what? Tank Transformers, pick any one; they're probably slow.
Well,
is what
it was
I thought.
Autobot tank.
Was it Autobot tank?
Yeah.
Autobot tank.
So how many Autobot tanks are there in the first place?
Turns out there's a lot.
Yes.
So we get our results back, and here's the funny thing. So Gabby has the speed stick incident and then says brainstorm for endurance.
Who netted a 6.
And gets 6, which is, like, I thought brainstorm was like a 2 because he's the smart guy.
Yeah, the scientist.
So I was like, oh man. So then they get to me. I'm like, all right, we're going to get 10 here and that'll boost us up. Groove, the motorcycle from the Protectobots has a speed rating of 5. And I went like, what?
We kind of all did a collective
and Proto Man went, what?
That Proto Man in the crowd goes, what?
The goddamn Proto Man was stupefied.
So that was a crushing blow and yet another flip over. Then we get to Aaron. And
I've seen these two scores and I'm like, okay, this is going to be Mr. Spangle again.
Here comes Bumblebee. They even put a little P in the front because he selected Pretender. So I was like, hey, look, it's Bumblebee. Strength rating. Of 7.
And I went, goodbye.
And I was like, so now we're at 18 points between the three of us all getting the exact opposite of what we expected. And we're like,
25.
Yeah, so we're 25.
So we're like, all right, this is all going completely bonkers. Maybe Warpath is a really fast tank.
And turbocharged, supercharged Warpath.
And it really drove it home because before they revealed the last score, they took the timeouts to tally up the points, count them all together, and let us know how many we needed to score the points, which was 7. So we were all like waiting with bated breath and like in anticipation. And then.
And Warpath's speed rating was 2.
Yes.
Which, however, what they didn't tell us is of all of the Autobot tanks, the best speed that we could have gotten was with Big Bang.
Big Bang, the Micromaster, who was also the strongest yellow robot. So
Big Bang had a speed of 6.
Yeah.
So with that question and all of our answers, we couldn't have won.
But here's the thing, all right? This is what we learned. We got to see a list of we looked through a spreadsheet of high-ranking things for those questions. If we had selected Big Bang and Flak for every single answer, we would have swept the board and scored 25 points.
It was absolutely amazing how many times Flak actually came up with high scores.
The other one that got me for my question, the primarily yellow Autobot speed... Or
strength
would have been Rodimus Prime.
Yeah, and Omega Supreme with a 10, and oddly enough, Omega Spream with a 9.
This was the frustrating part, because actually Goldbug turned out to have netted a 9. Yeah. So if you picked Goldbug instead...
Goldbug. What's the first word there? Gold. In my mind, not yellow.
Yes.
Rodimus Prime. In my mind...
Rodimus Prime is not primarily yellow.
I don't care how you slice it. He's not primarily yellow.
If the question was, in reality, what Autobot that has yellow on it, my brain wouldn't have locked into Bumblebee and probably could have rocked out an Omega Supreme or...
See, I would have gone Grapple. My immediate answer to that would have been Grapple.
Erector.
Yes. This was also the frustrating thing, because... When Vangelis named Groove, I kind of actually defaulted to the aerial bots for fastest member of a combining team.
But little did we know, the fastest member of a Scramble City combiner team was Blastoff from the Combaticons.
Yes.
With a 10. And I was just sitting there going like, you know what? In my head, when I am on the spot trying to think of what's fast, I don't think of a space shuttle immediately as being faster than a motorcycle. And then someone's like, well, maneuverability. And I was like, yeah, but a space shuttle. They start moving slow. And they're all about lift. But I don't know. Nonetheless, though, we all got still first place. So we didn't all get a copy of War for Cybertron,
which was the prize. It turns out that the staff had managed to get... every version of War for Cybertron, so for the DS, the Wii, the PS3, and the 360. And if we won that very hellish nightmare round, we could have picked whichever version we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They had them all.
I didn't feel too gutted, only because I already have two versions of it.
Right.
But it still would have been really nice, because I could have grabbed the PS3 one and got in on all the PS3 actions. But we all did win something that we're going to pick up tomorrow, which is we all won, guess what? Because it's Canada, a VO Swerve.
And then I promptly yelled out, I have one already!
And to which Daniel immediately yelled, well then, sell it!
Yes, I intend to, actually.
I got one, actually, from GM Fan, about a year and a half ago.
Me too.
So
thanks for hooking us up.
So we'll start the bidding on this.
At 80?
I think 80 is a little high. 75.
Yeah, 75. That's fair. So that was the faction feud, basically. It was an adventure. But there was more happening. I filmed, I think, five full one-hour panels.
The voice actor thing was two.
It was two?
It was 2 hours between the auditions and the...
Oh, dear. Well, okay, basically, how do we start today? Okay, so it's a Derek Wyatt panel. Derek Wyatt panel was fun. I admit, I kind of went up and sort of just like trolled him a bit now and then.
Just
a little bit.
Understatement of the eon.
Well, I just mentioned that if you want to know what part of Starscream Slipstream is, you can go and ask him on formspring.me. We also got this excellent new addition to the canon, which is Derek Powell.
Yes.
To which I then tweeted that everyone should ask Derek Wyatt about Derek Powell on Formspring.
Who said that? You know,
I don't know.
Some idiot girl who doesn't know what she's talking about, really.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't looking. I was looking in the camera.
What do
you
mean?
You can't see things when you're looking in the camera.
I'm sure Derek Powell is amazing, though.
And the Derek Wyatt panel was just goofy. You know, it was fun. It was almost entirely, by the end of it, the Q&A was getting a little bit dry, and it was almost entirely just people who already talked to him all the time anyway on the internet, just going on the microphone and pestering him. It was cool. It was fun. Next up was Mark Ryan. A lot of people weren't there for the Mark Ryan panel because I think a lot of people didn't know what to expect. And I decided to stick it out because I wanted to tape it. This was a nice surprise. Mark Ryan is a funny guy.
Absolutely hilarious. Really.
That guy, like, he didn't talk about Transformers that much. But he had these stories, like the story about the meat shirt. For this thing he was doing, he had to be gutted open with a knife from neck to crotch. So what they did is they got him a metal breastplate and then covered it in a smorgasbord of meat, like liver and chicken and sausage.
Sausages.
Yeah. And then they put a shirt over it, and then the other guy would stab him in the metal with a real knife, drag it down, and slice through all the meat.
Oh,
and
really?
Mark Ryan was cool with that, because, you know, okay, I trust you guys, I trust the actor, and I'm wearing a metal breastplate. So they do it once, the meat spills out, some of the crew almost puke.
I think they actually did.
Yeah, it was revolting to look at. But they had to do a second take, and they already actually had a second smorgasbord meat plate prepared for him to put on his shirt. Thing is, they're under hot lights, and apparently the meat started to smell a whole lot like what meat would smell like under hot lights for a couple of hours. And Mark Ryan was wearing it as a shirt. And then when they went to do the second take, the crew knew it was going to happen, and they were smelling it from wherever they were. And some of them were just like... but the Mark Ryan panel was really fun. I'm going to have it up on YouTubes, and you should all check it out. You know, he says a lot of Transformers relevant stuff as well. And bless him, he says, I know a lot of you, because he says basically a lot of people give me trouble on the web because I'm Mark Ryan. A lot of you Transformers fans give me a hard time. I don't care. And he was very nice and open and down to earth, very un-PR. Mm-hmm. You know, not very like, oh, I respect the work we all did. He just went like, you know what, I had fun doing the movie. And I think we should have gotten that sound Oscar. And hell, we should have gotten the visual effects Oscar, too, because they put a lot of work into it. I was like, good man, good man. Then we had the David Kaye panel, and that was also pretty fun.
This is where everybody and their mother sort of
The Mark Ryan panel was all airy and open, and Mark Ryan is just telling stories like, man, this is kind of homey, you know? And then near the end of it, I was like, man, it's getting crowded in here. And David Kaye comes in and it's like, humanity has arrived. And it was a pretty good panel. I was totally like racking my head trying to think of something to ask him, because I was like, I can't ask him about animated because he's been asked everything about animated, and I've been to all the BotCons he's been at, and it'll look horrible. I'm like, what was it like voicing Optimus Prime? So
how do you get into voice acting?
Yeah, can you do an impression of Optimus Prime?
How would you like working with Chris Latta?
Bless Goober. He decided to destroy the notion of can you do some impressions.
Yes.
He went up and spent 15 minutes trying to explain the situation he would like David Kaye to act out.
And was having to act out the voices of some of the secondary characters that David didn't quite remember.
Yes, and again, that will be on YouTube. Yes. And the David Kaye panel, it was a good time. And then after that was an autograph session. I got some stuff autographed, and what I did next was go to the voice acting script reading thing. But the panels with the people, you guys were there for some of them, right? Like,
yeah.
You were there right by the camera for a couple of
I was
of
there
them.
Right by the camera for quite a bit, except for during Mark Ryan. I ran back some sales room stuff to the room because I didn't want to be following it around.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very good. It was pure question and answer, unlike, you know, generally other conventions panels have been like a half hour or so of talky talk about whatever the panel's about, and then 25 to 30 minutes of Q&A, whereas this was pure, what do you got as a question?
Yeah, and you know what? What I want to say is, you know, given that Derek White and David Kaye were involved, there was a lot of fangirl content in the Q&A. But you know what? At TFCon, fangirl content is not a bad thing.
No, it is not.
At BotCon, it can get pretty damn creepy at times.
Yes.
At TFCon, a lot of them, like, talk to these folks anyway when they're not doing their panel. So it's just all like, you know, hey, what's up? Tell me all about this and this. Go. And it's energetic and it's fun. It was a really good time. And Gabby, you said you were at the Mark Ryan panel.
Yes, the Mark Ryan panel. I was volunteering, so I was just checking wristbands, making sure everybody who'd paid was supposed to be there, et cetera, et cetera. The Mark Ryan panel was absolutely amazing. He just had stories after stories. Very, very, very personable, friendly guy. Very open, chatted with everybody. It was just, he had a lot to say about where he'd been, who he'd worked with. Very, very nice guy. Oh, and he had this question. I don't know if anybody got it. The one,
oh God, yeah,
with his niece's horse. He had a prize for anybody who could find that out. And I was like, God damn it, everybody with their iPhones could totally check it out right now. But I don't think anybody got it yet.
The best part was the people who gave answers that weren't right, and the way that Mark Ryan would sometimes respond to those answers. Like, what was one? Like, Mr. Cinnamon Pillow Pants or something like that. And he's like, Mr. What? I mean, I think someone like suggested a really doofy, like, just like candy cane sugar and sparkles name, and he was like, I feel sorry for how you were raised or something like that.
Or he would say, do you have somebody you can talk to, dear? You know, sit down, talk about your problems.
That's what surprised me, that I didn't, like, you know, I didn't do my research, so that's why it surprised me. But Mark Ryan is actually British.
Yeah.
Wow.
I always assumed he was doing an accent. What does that say about me and foreign people? I'm like, that accent, you know, that's a pretty good accent. You're like, that's how I talk. And it's like, it's a pretty good accent. But Mark Ryan's panel was a lot better than I expected. I don't mean to say I expected it to be bad, but...
Just didn't know what you were going to expect, pretty much.
Mark Ryan, the voice of Bumblebee from the Transformers movies, up front, I'm kind of like, I don't know what this is going to be like. But it was very fun.
Yes.
I think he went in also knowing that there was trepidation about it. Because he clearly said, you know, I've checked, you know, about how much people who are into Transformers don't like me. And I don't care. So he was a great dude.
Yes.
Did you guys have any thoughts on the Derek Wyatt or David Kaye panels?
I'm trying to separate the David Kaye panel from the script reading because they're kind of blending in a bit. But yes, oh, the David Kaye panel. Oh God, I wish that it could be like 2 hours or an hour and a half long because people just kept coming and wanted to ask good questions. There were a lot of good questions asked, actually.
Well, yeah, like I said, like there were no pointedly awful questions here at TFCon. I don't mean to pump up the Canadians, but like BotCon, you will often get at least one question where people are just going to go like, you know, they're going to, what I'm doing here that you can't see is I'm breathing in deeply, shaking my head with my eyes widened while I'm raising one hand and then dropping it on my knee and shrugging. That's a reaction you'll get to several questions asked at BotCon panels.
Terribly stereotypical over-the-top stuff, but I've seen questions almost as bad as being at a voice actor panel and asking why a toy does something.
Yeah, or...
Like, what does the voice actor have to do with the toy? And I...
Or going to a Hasbro panel with a Hasbro PR rep before they even had designers coming and asking why part of your registration package wasn't in the envelope.
Oh, yeah.
You know the one I'm talking about, right? Yeah.
That's special.
That was awesome. That was an amazing one.
I think the worst question that was asked was about that commercial he did. I forget what it was called.
Oh, the Enzyte.
Yes, the Enzyte. But when it was asked, he totally laughed it off. It rolled right off his back.
It was done, I think, meant to be in good humor.
Yes.
But ever since BotCon 09, the Enzyte stuff has been so off limits because someone was literally like, hey, can you and Weird Al do a skit where you're both in character advertising for Enzyte? And Weird Al's like, Enzyte? David Kaye's like, yeah, Enzyte. And it was a little embarrassing to watch. But these panels went pretty well. Aaron, was there anything at David Kaye or Derek Wyatt that struck you at all in particular?
The thing that I liked was that there wasn't a whole lot of Dance For Me Monkey.
Yeah, I like the, like, I, to be honest, I suspect Goober did it just to make sure no one else would.
I think Goober did it just because...
he went up to kill it.
Yeah, look, here's the stupid, crazy thing. Look, it's done now. Don't do it anymore. Derek Wyatt stuff, I mean, I'd follow enough of the Formspring stuff.
We've
had him as a guest on the show a couple, three times, so it's hard to come up with something new when you're conversational with the guy.
And his was the first of the morning as well. And his was the only panel where, like, there were times where it kind of hit a dead point, I think. And that's why I kept going back up. Because, like, well, I'll fill in the blank for something. Thanks for page 135 on the AllSpark Almanac 2, available now at Amazon.ca.
But I almost asked or re-asked my form swing question of what's the viscous fluid for oil pan just to get another round of that. Or oil slick. Just to get another round of it's a... cooling liquid in the other two barrels are cosmic rust and root beer.
Root beer, yes. Just in case you didn't know, it's canon, by the way. Oil Slick's barrel has root beer in it.
There you have it, folks.
But the voice auditions, they were really cool this year.
They were amazing this year. Absolutely fantastic. Oh, wow.
They didn't do anything different. I swear to you. They did nothing different from last year. I could really notice. Like, even though Goober got to go up constantly and they said, we're trying not to do that, they didn't care after a while.
Yeah.
And it ran way smoother.
Yeah.
It ran way smoother than last year.
It ran well.
Yeah.
We had a lot of talented people this year. There were so many close calls and callbacks over and over and over again.
Man, it was crazy. Like, how many people, like the callbacks on Sentinel Prime was nuts.
Yes. Yeah.
They had 3 callbacks on Sentinel Prime, and it did nothing to help them out.
It just got harder and harder each time, because, you know, you're reading out the not-so-great people, and then you were stuck with the really, really great guys who had all sorts of different things going for them, but it still hit on Sentinel Prime. Yeah. So it's just a really great way to explore, like, the intricacies of the voice and the character.
And let's address Joe Sinek now. Joe Sinek says, so you're telling me there's some kind of fan script reading where they have the voice actor guest and then they get a bunch of fans to go up and recite lines and pretend they could do something. Why do I want to watch that? How do you answer Joe Sinek, Gabby?
Well, first I'd probably have to hit him because, you know, bitch don't know what he's talking about. Oh, I'm sorry. I swore.
What's wrong with the beach? I love going to the beach.
Oh, yes. The beach is fantastic.
Yeah, but you got a problem with the beach?
I think the greatest thing about the live action... Oh, I'm sorry. The live script reading.
The live action movie.
The live action movie.
Was Bumblebee.
Yes.
I love Bumblebee.
Yes,
love
it was Bumblebee. Great. is that there's so many opportunities to laugh at. Like, everybody, because as the competition got more fierce and fiercer, everybody was trying to one-up the other in, like, friendly competition ways. So everybody, this year was fantastic, because everybody just kept coming up with really clever, funny ad-libs, and the whole room was just an uproar each and every time. And then you just get to hear all of these, like, amateur voices who, you know, if they were probably, some of them, if they were, like, on shows, I don't think I would blink twice, because it was just very, very, very well executed.
Yeah, and it's being done in front of a big room, too. You're doing it in front of everyone in the room. And, you know, some folks, you know, maybe they don't do an excellent voice job, but they got the balls to go up in front of a room, get on a mic, and read a line in character. And it's with a voice actor sitting right there,
yeah,
watching,
reading
them.
You,
yeah, it, and it's fun because if you once you get, you know, it's going to be nerve wracking for a lot of people. It's nerve wracking as hell for me at one point, and like, you know, if you just go up there and have fun with it, right? Like, you know what I do now. Ever since 2008, when I realized this is how to do it, just go up and audition for every single part. Why not? You know, they call Black Arachnia. I'll go up and do Black Arachnia. Sure.
I did Black Arachnia. Oh, God. Black Arachnia was fun. It was absolutely nerve-wracking for me, but I still went and did it anyway. What happened with Black Arachnia was I got a call back for the first time. Me, and I think it was just me and... Oh, yes. It was just me and Will who got called back. So just the two of us. And then...
Will being a male name.
Yes, Will being a male name, not being short for Wilhelmina or anything.
Wilhelmina.
So, yes, so it was me and Will who went up for the callback, and then they were still stuck after the second time, and then somebody, I don't know who it was, but you should totally let me know so I can stab you. Just kidding. Maybe just, you know, slightly maim. Called out sudden death, and then the room started chanting out sudden death. So me and Will, we went up for a third time, and it turns out the part went to Will, which, you know, I actually have no ill feelings about it at all. Will was fantastic.
Yeah, like in the realm of a dude going up to do a female part, the dude did it well.
He did it awesomely.
I mean, all things considered.
Not to be cliche, but, you know, the pants were kind of getting a little bit tight, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because, you know, it's pretty hot in there, and you're wearing that kind of material that shrinks in heat.
Yeah, that's
yes,
it.
Absolutely. That's totally it.
But, no, the parts of the audition, they were Sentinel Prime. There's also Jazz.
Bumblebee,
Black Arachnia. Who's the first one they auditioned?
There was somebody. I think we're missing somebody.
Yeah.
I have pictures, you know.
Where's my bag? I have the script somewhere here.
There's also a Ratchet.
Well,
but
no,
they didn't
Ratchet was
oh,
Phil.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah,
that was
Phil.
It was...
We're visualizing
Jazz was on the
it.
End.
Jazz,
Megatron...
Lugnut.
Blitzwing was the first
Blitzwing
one.
Blitzwing was the first one that people were maxing mics and everything.
Well, yeah, Blitzwing's the first one they did, and you had to do all three Blitzwings.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, a lot of people, myself included, don't know how to talk at microphones,
right,
especially when you're on the spot. So people will do Blitzwing. They'll do the loud one a little bit cracky. They'll do the quiet Blitzwing then, and, you know, it's fine. Then they'll do crazy Blitzwing while their mouth is still this close to the microphone. And what was great is when I was up there, and Aaron is totally deep-throating...
I don't know what you're talking about.
...a popsicle. I didn't realize where the speakers were until the first Blitzwing did the crazy Blitzwing voice, and my head almost exploded because the speaker was right next to the lineup, and I was like, "Yeah!" Like the two guys behind me, I was like, "I hope you like the view, guys." But no, there was a lot of really, really fun auditioning, and you know, a lot of folks who want to be Joe Sinek can go like, "Oh, everyone who's not a voice, even some voice actors suck it. It must be horrible to watch." Like, you know what? If you go into it with that attitude, yes, it's don't bother watching it. But if you want to have fun with your peers, fun watching this stuff, then go. Like, Aaron, how do you address Joe Sinek?
The biggest thing is to realize again that this isn't a Shakespearean drama.
Yeah.
That we're getting ready to do. This is a fan written comedy skit, basically. That involves torturing a voice actor because David was having to go through 4 or 5 or 6 different...
I think his entire repertoire, maybe.
Pretty close to it.
Yeah.
And,
he made him do Cliff Jumper.
And, yes. he was doing lines off of himself and then rolling into a third character. And I believe there may have been one page that was almost entirely him.
And two of the characters...
With maybe a Bumblebee quip.
Two of the characters who were speaking to each other were Beast Wars Megatron and Cybertron Megatron from the Unicron trilogy.
Yeah.
So, think about that for a sec.
It was all good fun. And it was something that was cool to watch. I mean,
well, and what TFCon does that makes it all legit is that the point of it is not to highlight the voice guests. The point of it is for the voice guests to kind of just kick back, have some fun, and highlight a whole bunch of people who just go up and say funny voice stuff in front of a crowd.
Yeah, there was something for everybody. You could have tried out for voices. You could have been there to see the voice actor, but it was just basically something like by fans for fans, just, you know, not too much pressure, though. I'm sure some people felt it more than most, but it was just a good time, good energy, you know, just a place to just laugh and crap, I'm messing up here. I lost my train of thought. You're gonna edit this, right?
Oh, no.
Okay, let me backtrack there. So it was just a good time, just for everybody to laugh and just enjoy some good laughs and
To kick back and just like, you know, it's like sitting around with a bunch of friends, you know. There's no prestige on the line.
Exactly.
It's not like, you know, it's the BotCon one had a level of prestige about it, the way they presented it, like, because back when they didn't know it.
Being the city was four voice actors.
It was like four voice actors. It was three voice actors, Marty Eisenberg, and then two fans.
Yeah.
After a lengthy audition session for a female role and a male role, so it was a lot more pressurized. This one is just like, everyone come line up. Ba 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 ba. All right, we'll call some people. Ba ba ba. Let's have fun. And also, like, when you go up there, you're reading off this little script, and you get to see who all the characters are. And then in my case, I was, you know, go up to do Blitzwing. I'm like, I'll try Blitzwing. I did, like, a Russian Blitzwing for some reason. And I was like, whatever, you know. And then I saw the rest of the characters, and then I saw who's on the bottom. And I was like, I kind of like the one that's on the bottom. So the next one they do is Jazz. And I was like, I want to audition for everyone because it's fun. But I was like, I don't know how to do Jazz. So I just, like, I went all low voice like this. And then, like, the crowd kind of, like, got entertained. So I started to do this, like, weird, like, phone sex voice, basically. Yeah. And then I thought, like, oh, that's funny. Maybe they left. So then they do, who was it? Black Arachnia is next. And I was like, maybe I'll just go up and do the same voice for Black Arachnia. And then,
no, you went deeper for Black Arachnia.
I did, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And I kind of threw in a few babies and my boys, too. But it made some people in the crowd chuckle a bit, and that's what I wanted to accomplish. And then they did Sentinel Prime, and I was like, I want to audition for every part. And I was like, I could try to approximate Townsend Coleman, and it would just sound really generic and boring. Or I could do the Milk Daddy, because they said it's an egotistical guy. So I went up and did a Milk Daddy bit with the lion, and some people chuckled, and I felt good. And then they did the last role, which was Animated Megatron. And that's the one where I was really kind of like, I kind of really want to put all my effort into this one, because
I saw, like, you doing the Evangelist two-finger forehead rub. I don't know if you realize you did that, but you were sitting there thinking it was the two fingers and the thumb just working at those temples, like, find the character, find the character.
What nobody noticed is I also, because, you know, there's ad-libbing open, you know, you could ad-lib stuff in if you wanted, and I was like, I really want to make a good first impression, and I'd just recently been watching clips of the 90s Apocalypse from the 90s X-Men cartoon, so I looked up my old tweet where I quoted the greatest line he ever had, which is, I don't even remember it now, but I have to look it up. It's
waves crash against me or something.
I am the eternal rock on the shore.
I am the rocks of the eternal shore, crash against me and be broken. So I was like, I want to do a fellow Decepticons at the start, and I want to do that at the end. And so I kind of like, and I like to think I can approximate Corey Burton Megatron. So I was like, okay, I really want to get at this one. So I went all at it, and then I didn't even get a call back. They just let me in. So I felt really good.
Yeah, they were like, Chris, just come back.
It's like, Chris, you finally got one, buddy. Come on up.
And the only person who got my Apocalypse line and told me was Proto Man. So I felt really good about that.
I got it because I remember the tweet.
Yeah.
Well, but I was running the camera.
Remember the long series of tweets. I'm going to hate watching myself, by the way. I hate watching myself do that stuff.
Well, I'm probably going to hate listening to myself right now, so, you know.
Yeah, it goes back and forth. But the script, it was fun to read. I was only in there for the final three pages. But let me tell you, I was in there for a lot of the final three pages.
Yeah, you're...
I got to yell at everybody.
Yeah.
I got to deny David Kay. It was fun. It was really fun.
All right. So for all the Joe Cynics out there, totally check out the live script reading if you're ever at TFCon. And if you haven't been to TFCon, you really should.
And here, let me lay this out. All right. If you're saying, hey, guess what, Evangelist? You only had fun because not only did you get a part, you got the exact part you wanted, which was the most fun for you. Well, guess what? Last year, I got no parts, and I had a hell of a fun time auditioning for every part. So...
You didn't get a part last year?
Me and Goober didn't get parts last year.
I thought you got a part last
year. No, there's a video of me talking to Goober while we're in the audience while they're setting up for the script reading. And I'm like, Goober, we didn't get parts. And Goober's all like, I know I didn't get parts. what? And I was like, at least we still have alcohol. And he's like, we still have alcohol. And it was.
Is that what's in his Slurpee cup?
No, no, that's Blue Magic.
No.
Blue Magic Slurpee. But yeah, script reading, it's amazing. It's definitely the one thing that TFCon has on top of BotCon by far, because it's the most creative and community-driven and interactive and guest-driven activity you can possibly do at a Transformers convention.
Definitely one of the bigger highlights of the convention.
Yeah, it was. Oh, it was good. That'll be up first, maybe. I don't know.
Next year, I will win a part.
That's what I said last year. This year I was so pumped because I was like, you know what? I know I might not get a part this year, but I am going to like double time this year. And then I saw Megatron's. I was like, you know what? Okay, 100. I'm going to joke around maybe a bit with the other roles because I want to audition for everything still. But like, I want that Megatron role.
Thing about Megatron was, I'm pretty sure of all the characters, Megatron had the biggest lineup, and Evangelist totally swept that. So just process that for a second.
I felt really good.
Yeah. So nobody got callbacks. So he got to do it straight.
And I'm already predicting that Seth Buzzard will respond in the thread and bring me back down to Earth right about now. So I'm looking forward to that. Seth Buzzard, by the way, bless him. First tweet response I got when I talked about the Fembot victory was, the rest of your team must have been great.
Well, he knew I was there.
I know.
Come on, what was that? 3 years in a row, faction feuds hung over, and we still didn't go out last because we never went first.
Yeah. All I'm going to say is I finished the DS games of War for Cybertron before Seth Buzzard. I know he's not here to defend himself, but that's what I'm saying.
Doesn't he have a
GamePadsUnplugged.com
podcast and website where he
GamePads-Unplugged.com.org.net?
Yes.
/index? Have you guys heard of that?
Yes.
Maybe. Once or twice.
Have you listened to episode 99 yet?
I will get on that. I try to. Okay, because I...
Derek Wyatt is at the convention.
I know.
You just dropped the microphone, Aaron.
Just dropped the microphone at my failure. I have not listened to episode 99. What happened was, I am a bit behind on the podcast. I'm actually tried to listen. Oh, Aaron picked up the microphone just to drop it again. Okay, so wonderful. I was on episode 98, and I am actually from Canada. Oh, he's going for a third.
Nope.
False alarm.
He's just putting it back in the holster now, but it's going to make noise anyway.
I find that somehow worse. I tried to listen to the podcast on my way here because I live in Canada. In fact, I just live like 2-3 hours away. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get caught up on my podcasts while I'm driving down. Except I bought the absolute worst MP3 player that could possibly be engineered ever. It was terribly, terribly, terribly quiet. The only time you could possibly ever hear anything is if you're in a room by yourself that is somehow vacuum sealed, and if it was vacuum sealed, you wouldn't be able to hear anything because there wouldn't be any air to carry the sound.
Aaron is waving poppycock in my face, just so you know.
Oh.
Sorry, I'm hungry.
What is that?
I thought you were a professional.
Oh, he's offering me a poppycock.
Why are you doing this during recording?
Thank you.
I'm hungry.
I thought you were a professional.
That's a throwback, ladies and gentlemen.
That's why the microphone went back into the holster, so I don't have to sit here and get caramel coating.
Your poppycock is absolutely sweet and delicious.
I love Aaron's poppycock.
Nice coating, yes.
So, yeah, the voice acting thing was well. All the stuff you'll be able to see on my YouTube channel, barring some kind of catastrophe. I missed some panels, though. I did videotape Proto Man's video game panel.
And that was awesome.
Thank goodness I did, because here's the thing. One of the questions, one of the questions of the faction feud, who are the four Decepticon bosses in Convoy No Nazo, the Mystery of Convoy for the NES, all right? Other team gets one of them. They get the answer. They get three of them. And I'm sitting there. There's one space left, and I am dead sure it's the giant Decepticon symbol. They're stuck on their final strike, and Daniel actually says, just so you know, you can't answer the giant Decepticon symbol. And I was like, oh, and then they couldn't get it, and they come to us, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, that was what I was going to pick. Everyone's looking at me because, you know, we're all sitting there like, ooh, you know, what is it? And I'm like, I think I know. And they're like, all right. And then I actually didn't know when I said that. I should say now. I was lying.
Oh, wow.
But then I was like, okay. And I was like, okay, who is the combiner team? Who didn't they say? I think he's in the game. So I say, was it like Bruticus?
Bruticus.
And I was right.
Because you looked at me, and you were like, I guess
Ruckus, Ruckus.
I'm like,
I hope so.
Go for it.
Because that's what I was saying, because they said Minasaur.
Yeah.
And I remember that.
Minasaur, Trypticon. Trypticon, and Megatron.
The giant Megatron from that. And I'm like, the only other thing was another combiner.
I know it wasn't Devastator.
It would have been Devastator, and it wasn't the Seacons.
It was a Scramble City from 84, from 86.
Right.
So it had to be Bruticus.
Right.
And I was like, yes!
Yeah.
But we saw Protoman's video game panel. I recorded a lot of that. I missed the first couple minutes, but that was really cool.
He said that he was a late start, and he only had the first... The one that we were setting up during was the first one was the first Commodore 64 game.
Yeah. I caught everything basically but the first game that he talked about. And apparently we also missed out on something when he talked about... he co-hosted the Transformers pairing panel.
I'm ashamed to admit that I did, in fact, miss that.
Terribly. I did too. I was getting autographs.
So if there's anybody out there with video, please upload that.
Protoman would love it if you post every bit of video and audio you have from the Transformers pairing panel, if you got any. Even images. And make sure you tell him you're posting it too, after it's up, of course. And if he says he doesn't like it, he's lying. Because he was very proud of that panel.
I feel
he worked long and hard.
That's what she said.
Very, very hard. But I think that's more or less the events of the day outside of the dealer room, unless I'm missing something.
And then after we won, we went out for drinks, and Aaron bought the team rum cokes, whatever we wanted.
Aaron bought a round of drinks for the team, and it took me 18 years to drink mine.
I finished mine in like 20 seconds after I got it.
Yep. I'm slow.
Hard drinking woman.
Yes.
I'm just like... I'm there with my little straw and my rum and coke with a shot of coke in like 3 liters, a shot of rum in 3 liters of coke with a huge straw, and I'm going there like really slowly. It was, you know.
Well, you had breaks in between because you were playing your, I forget what it was called.
Audio Boo.
I was doing audio boo, and I was playing Words for Friends, and I was acting out for some people, and. I mean, the only other thing I think of for us to talk about in the final, like, what, 10 minutes or so here? Eight minutes or so, is dealer room. Do we have any dealer room stories? I know Aaron has dealer room stories up his buttocks. Gabby, did you have any dealer room stories of note?
Not of particular note. I'm a big Robot Heroes addict. I collected from various lines, but I've comfort myself with the idea that, you don't have to go completist on any of the other lines as long as you can get all the Robot Heroes. That's how I sleep.
And it's a dead line now, so it has a cutoff.
Yes, there is a cutoff, and that cutoff is wonderful. So, I have a nice, neat little list chart on my computer. I can't quite remember everything that's on it, but to my knowledge, I have all of them in The Revenge of the Fallen, so I'm done with ROTF. The ones that I was looking for today were the Allspark Bumblebee and with Starscream and the Ironhide and Dispensor. I did find a seller who had them, but he'd already sold them that morning, and those were the only two I needed. But I did, on the plus side, manage to score a Ricochet and Predaking.
How on earth did you score that?
Oh, you know, some dude sold it to me, you know, got glasses, some internet personality guy. I don't quite remember his
probably
name.
Probably a dick.
Yes, definitely a dick. In fact, you should probably go insert is a dick on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because totally definitely. Is.
Hash sign. So this means all you have to do now is get Death Source and Victory Saber and Laserbeak and you know, those other ones that you can totally find on eBay, and you'll be good to go.
I hate you.
Absolutely good to go.
I hate you so much.
I'm like, what, $50 for one of them? You know,
it's, yeah, you know, plus shipping. You know,
just drop $3 bills. Get
I would
four
totally
Robot Heroes.
Buy those for $50, but if they're like $5 plus shipping, forget it. I won't do it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, plus shipping.
Yes, seriously,
unbelievable. Aaron, tell us one of your dealer room stories of the multitudinous.
I only have two. Really. The first one was just kind of looking around. Scramble City kind of got an itch going. As I'm actually itching myself, it's psychological.
It's all that poppycock.
Yeah, it's all the poppycock. And so I thought, well, protect bots, because that's Hotspot's really, I think, the most versatile center guy. And I kind of been looking around and saw, like,
you know, remember BotCon was 200 and up.
Yeah.
200 was all the limbs, all the vehicle weapons, fists, feet, but probably not all the small weapons. I'm not a terrible completionist, but for 200, that's got to come with something else. I don't know if it's got to have a little service after the fact, whatever.
Car service.
Yeah. So I was going through and found a table kind of in the back corner. And he had a couple of them. And I looked at the I looked at one and I asked, what's the price on this? And is it complete? And he's like, well, no, that one's not complete. Hold on. And he rummaged around in another bin. This is the better one and it's complete. Okay, how much? And I think he said like 120. And I said, will you take 100 for it? It kind of wobbles a little bit. Yeah, okay, I'll take 100 for it. Boom. All right. That's the dealer room purchase. I feel good. Come back up. I kind of do the doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot out of the bag to Vangelis, and he got a little bit excited about it.
Yeah, I was like, dude, $100 complete defensor. So suck then, it, BotCon.
So then, yeah, definitely a suck it, BotCon. So then I'm kind of looking at everything, and I pull it out, and, oh, my hotspot's got a metal chest. That's awesome. I'm going through, and two of the limbs, I forget which two, also had metal chests. I'm like, hey, that's pretty good, because those were the first run.
Yeah.
The protector bots had the die-cast chest, and then all the others had the plastic chest, so it's a little bit harder to come by. So I'm like, hey, feeling good. And the only thing wrong is one of Hotspot's fists, the tabs to slide the fist out, is broken, but you can still get the fist out. So worst comes to worst, I buy a junker that has a right hand, or a right arm, three screws, and I'm good. And so I was feeling good. And I came up, dropped it off the room, went back down, was walking around the dealer room and saw somebody that had a Trypticon for 150. I'm sitting there going, really? 150 for a Trypticon? And he has little other tags on him that say 100% complete, even has full tilt gun. I'm like, that seems like a really good price, but surely not 150. So I walked around the dealer room, asked a couple others, and said, yeah, there was, because in the past there was a Trypticon that kind of got away from me at a previous BotCon back before probably 06, before everything started going crazy. And I was asking around the room, and there were people that had them for 150, but, oh no, it's missing all the tower pieces or all of, what is it, Brunt? The little tank guy.
I know nothing about Trypticon.
And yeah, no, he's missing two of those pieces, or no, he's got that, but he doesn't have any of the antennas or radar dishes and everything. Or there was another one that was complete that had some yellowing, and he wanted 200 for it. So I went back to the guy that had 150, and I'm like, I'm interested. What can you tell me? And he's got a little bit of like the green stuff on the chrome, and like one sticker was misplaced or something or other. And I said, oh, okay, well, I kind of scratched my beard a little bit. Can you do 120? And he goes, well, I'm selling it for a friend. And sure. Put that in
so, the bag. So that's 220 for a complete G1 defensor and a complete G1 Trypticon.
Yeah. So basically I paid for a defensor at BotCon and got a Trypticon for free.
Yeah, specifically BotCon dealer room. Not, I love BotCon. Yeah. BotCon's great. BotCon dealer room 2010, suck it. Yeah. We just out G1'd you.
Yeah. The only other things I picked up was the Beast Wars 2-pack Vat Primal Alligator Megatron.
For 15 bucks,
for
right?
15 yeah. With the car wow. With the American card back.
Yeah.
No comic, though. So.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
And then I also picked up another one of the TFCon exclusives to go back to Gerodimus, who probably won't listen to this for 3 months.
Hey, Gerodimus, what's up in October?
In the future.
Well, I had quite a victory myself.
Do tell us.
Feast your eyes on the desk over there.
I'm kind of blind and nearsighted.
Do you see that here? Gentleman there? That yes. Red-caped Odin son?
Oh, wow.
Walked over to Silver Snail and saw a bunch of $10 tagged Marvel crossovers. And, you know, they are $20 here in Canada. I think Marvel crossovers are fine. Often, I think they do some pretty decent engineering. but they are so mass and bulky at a price point that makes them $20, most Americans can agree that that's something to balk at for what
even,
you get.
Even the $15 or so price point in the U.S. is kind of,
So I sit there looking at it for $10. I'm like, $10? I'll do it. But then I'm like, maybe I should be more like people I know. Maybe I should be more like my friends who all tell me all about all the great haggling they do at BotCon conventions and such. So I'm like, I walk up, I saunter up, put on my best haggle hat, and I'm all like, can you do me 8 for that? And they did.
And the guy just went, yeah, okay.
Because of Curious Comics, and they are never going to sell these because at their store they have to sell them for $26. No one will ever buy them for $26. People weren't even buying them at $10. So I was patting myself on the back for finally successfully haggling all by myself. At the same time, not really something to celebrate. I successfully talked someone down on a Marvel crossover.
Woo!
And then I went to try to apply that magic to a rollout in Command Supreme Animated Prime, and the guy did not budge, and then I bought it at his marked price.
How much was it?
$30. Now, bear in mind, I did not live in a part of Canada where I got to see them for $10.
Yeah.
Yes, we had them on sale for $10 for quite some time. And even then, some people still wouldn't buy them.
I was contemplating at $30, seeing them in the dealer room.
And let me go get it.
And I had a little bit of a brain fart of, man, I got to get that home in my Oh, wait, I drove.
Exactly.
But I think if I came home with another big toy, the wife would be angry. She still looks at Devastator and shakes her head. And
he was only $30 though, right?
Yeah, he was. But he's
a lot of plastic for $30.
He's huge and terrible.
Does he do this?
Let's go. My name is Optimus Prime. Roll out. Bring it on.
Yeah. I like that haha he does at the end.
The worst thing is you bought that right after we had gone through the David K signing.
Well, the thing is, I have something cooler for David K to sign. I already talked about that, though. Derek J. White animation cell. Well, not cells, but animation board paper things. But, other than this, I also hit up Fort Mima, and I got a $10 Classics 2.0397 Voyager Treadbolt.
With instructions.
Without instructions for $10. And then I told him, like, I don't need the instructions. It's fine. On our way out of the dealer room towards the Derek White panel, Ryan Mima, like, okay, maybe I'm over-exaggerating a little bit. He literally throws his body out in my path going like, no, stop! And I'm like, what? What's going on? What? He's like, I've thrown the instructions. Runs back to his table, digging through this huge mountain of paper. He's like, throwing all over the place. Here you go! And I was like, thanks, man. He's like, I didn't want you to have to go without these. And he's all like, because, when Ryan Mima throws his body out into the middle of the dealer room, he does it with all his might.
You don't exactly say no to that.
Exactly. So I now have the instructions, too. So.
As if you didn't have probably, I would bet, 3 other versions of that mold.
Two. Classics and BotCon.
So you don't have a Henkei?
No.
You don't have a Dark Skyfire?
Almost did. Stolen Chinese, $45. Almost did, but I didn't. I didn't. So
the Shattered Glass Vangelist did.
That's right.
Maybe not the Shattered Glass Vangelist, but the alternate reality.
But end of the day, we all had some victories in the dealer room. I'm hoping to score one or two more.
I also managed to score an RC, which was the one
thing
I, aside from the Robot Heroes, that I really, really, really wanted. And it really drove it home for me because on the Friday, Michelle Oasis, we were all chilling in the lobby, and then she pulls out from a Toys R Us bag an RC, and she goes, here. And for a minute, I thought she was giving it to me, so it was completely...
I assumed she was giving it to you the whole time.
Yes! I thought, and I'm like, oh, wow.
I was like, oh, that's nice.
And then she's all like, here, you want to play with it for a bit? Oh, Phil got it for me, and I'm like, oh, so you could just...
Yeah.
Hear the moment where my heart just shattered.
And then I'm like, oh, let me see that. Pieces. And it's like, oh, hey, it's the matte one, too. That's the good one.
Yeah, so I just kind of stared and cried a bit. And then we got it open, and I messed with it. And then the more I messed with it, the more it hurt. Because I was all like, I hate this toy. I need three of this toy because I know people are giving hell about the sparkly one. And, you know, that's totally fair. If you don't like it, you want the matte one, that's fine. I've been waiting for an RC toy for, like, ever. So I kind of want to go a bit completist on this. I will take the sparkly one. I will take the matte one. And I will probably take one extra. So I got my one. I need two more. But I'm quite happy with what I got right now. Just excellent. I asked the dude how much he wanted for it. He said 20. I'm like, done. I didn't haggle. 20.
Yeah, they are going for 30 solid.
Yeah, right, so now, like, you know, 20, here, take it.
Yeah.
I wanted to get that before anybody else got it, so happy with that.
Yeah, so as I said, dealer room victories, and coming up tomorrow, customizing class.
Yes, who's that it? Hopefully won't run for...
Who's in there with me?
I'm not.
I might be volunteering for that again.
I'm all alone.
Hey, I said, hey, can I get in there since, you know, what you're customizing is what I already got due to the... trivia contest.
Oh, we don't know that yet. No, we don't know what the custom figure is yet.
It's been heavily hinted and is in the program.
Yeah, but we don't know what it is yet.
But no, I'm the one other thing in the dealer room that caught me and stopped me and kind of pulled up my childhood memories and whatnot for a little bit was I saw one dealer had like seven mask toys, and that was when I was growing up. That was the line that I had. And until we moved out to the farm and my brother, I had to share my toys with my like 6 year old or 6 year younger brother. And if it was a plane, he tried to make it fly into walls.
And a lot of mask toys turned into flying vehicles.
Yes, they had some sort of flying mode. Boulder Hill. I had the big playset Boulder Hill that was awesome, and he frequently wanted to take that out to the sandbox, and I went, no, and the parents went, oh, you go outside and play, and then he'd take it outside and play. Okay. And so very little of my old mask collection still exists, or actually quite a lot of it exists. Just none of it's pieces. Complete. It's in pieces and shards, and I saw some of those mask toys, and I was like, and then it was like $50 for Condor, which was the little green motorcycle with the spinning rotor on top.
Oh, dear.
It turned into the helicopter, and I went, yeah, no, no, paw, no.
And then he fully transformed one back and forth while it was in a Ziploc bag. That was pretty amazing to watch.
The 57 Chevy Bel Air, because you just have to twist the turret on it, and then he pops up, and then you lift the roof flap a little bit, and then the gun of the tank part pops out. And that one was also 50.
Yeah. And it was neat to watch. I was trying to walk, you know, I was walking out. I was like, I'm going to take some stuff up to the room. And he's like, let's go.
The one time that I'm not the one that's like being your handler because you get caught on a person that wants to talk to you for 45 minutes about nothing when it's like, oh crap, we gotta go do eight things.
Well, people are like, hey, you know, is this panel going on? I'm not gonna go like, I'm not telling you, and just like walking by them, going like, haters gonna hate. Like,
you know, I wasn't going for full on haters gotta hate, but it's, you know, you say, oh, we gotta go back up to the room. I gotta try to unload 8 gigabytes of stuff off of my camera so I can possibly record something else and get a charge on something and get something to eat, and we have 7 minutes. Oh, hey, how's it going? I haven't seen you since last year. How's everything going? Really? That's great. No, what about the kids? How are the kids doing? Oh, that's wonderful. It's like, Evangelist, we got things to do. And yeah, it's great. They're going to be here tomorrow too. And we've got like 7.5 minutes and you want to do 2 hours of things.
Aaron's totally living out the live in La Vida Evangelist experience here.
Yeah.
He knows what it's like.
Although it has been nice, a lot of people have recognized voices, especially in proximity to you, of being from the podcast. And I think that TFCon also, since it's a lot smaller convention, it's not been the really weird reactions, except for one person that wanted to hug me.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was me. Yeah, that no, wait, was, I shook
your
hand.
We're no,
you wanted to hug him.
A lot of it's because of the comedy that went on for VodCon. No, it was, you were the only person that wanted to hug, but it was, oh, hey, yeah, I really like the podcast, blah, 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 and you could be a little bit more casual about it. It seemed like VodCon was just so many people that it kind
of... Are you Aaron from the podcast?
It kind of gives that compression of feeling.
Can I jump on your back and get a piggyback ride?
Right. And so I don't know if it's part of it because it is more intimate
that it's not as manic.
Well, it's more chill. It's yeah. like, you know, like BotCon always has this attitude of like, since everyone is in a rush of BotCon, anyone who sees someone that they know is always going to be like, "Hey, how you doing? Oh man, I want to be able to talk to you. I hope I can have some of your time. You know, I talk to you on the board all the time or something." Like it doesn't have to relate to anything that we do. I mean, just anyone who meets anyone at BotCon will often be in a rush of some kind. Whereas at TFCon, you know, you're not in a rush.
Right. It's more chill.
Yeah, we're the chill convention here. But that is probably all the time we're going to do for tonight, because we're at 1:10.
Oh, are we?
So
oh, wow.
These go fast.
Yeah. I'm starting to see that now.
Let's wrap this up, and we'll record one more tomorrow night after the convention's done.
We're at 1:07 on the clock. What time are we getting up tomorrow?
I think we should just do 7 again.
7 again?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I'll set the alarm. I'll set the alarm on my phone right now. Okay. The alarm we used, you know, it worked very well this morning. As I said in my vlog, I was kind of testing Aaron last night when I was all like, "Hey, so what time you want to get up? It's 2 in the morning. We got to, you know, dealer rooms opens at 9, first panel's at 10. I was waiting for Aaron to give some kind of pussy answer, like, "Oh, well, let's do it. I don't know, maybe 8:30. No, he's all like 7 immediately.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Good man. Good man." Sorry, I'm checking my, speaking of handling, I'm checking my Twitter now, even though I went in here to turn on an alarm clock. Oh, I'm sorry, are we recording?
Yeah, we're still recording.
We're still recording, yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
Vanishes his mother. If you by any chance listen to this, I know what it's like.
Petaleon says, "I really want to know what that faction feud thingy is like. Throw some weight around and see how I'd fare. But I'd have to go to Canada and TFCon first, and that's not easy." Why would it not be easy for Petaleon to. Petaleon, all right, you and your durable Ultraman. Wait, I was going to set an alarm on here, so. I'll set the 7 and the 7:30 that I set this morning.
Yeah.
Turn them back on. All right. We're set. All right. See you all. Well, you're not going to hear this till we're done the convention, but see you all on the flip side, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Vangelis with Aaron and fellow Fembot founder Gabby. And we done.
Peace out.
Flip sides.
I'm going to look for more incredibly cheap toys.
Me too.
It is.
Crush the Autobots!
Add all that up, I know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.